The demographics of the United States are rapidly changing, and nobody knows that better than Joe Henry, an official with LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens. Established back in 1929, LULAC represents thousands of Latinos across the United States, and yes, here in Iowa. Coming up, a conversation about politics, wages, work, immigration, jobs, and more with Joe Henry. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of AARP. Learn about the real possibilities afforded to all Americans through what AARP is doing legislatively, in communities, and for their members and member families. Google AARP Iowa for more.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Aureon, Human Resources and More, for businesses and nonprofits, AUREON.com, Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids, realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. With me is Joe Henry, and Joe is with LULAC. And what is LULAC? LULAC is the League of United Latin American Citizens. Joe, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be here, and this will be good to be talking about our organization, which is 90 years old now.
It's amazing.
It is the largest and oldest Latino civil rights organization in the country. We have about 1,000 councils here in the United States and over 150,000 members. Here in Iowa alone, we have 18 councils and over 600 members here. So we're across the state per capita. We're actually doing a better job here in Iowa than across the country.
That's pretty amazing when you talk about that, because many people take a look at the flyover state of Iowa and they say, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of Caucasian people out there that wear seed corn hats and, you know, overalls. But that's not the picture any longer of Iowa, is it?
No. Now, here we are, only 85% of Iowans are now from the Anglo community, the white community. So here we have 15% that is minority, over half of which are from the Latino community. So we are growing exponentially, as are some other groups like the Asian community, too. But when we look at school-age kids, K through 12, 500,000 kids, 20% of those kids are from the Latino community. So we're growing exponentially, even though we're only about 6.5% of the population, but 20% of the school-age kids.
Well, I have seen statistical analysis that suggest that by 2050, that the majority-minority population is going to switch in the United States, and Iowa can't be very far behind.
No. How we look at it is by 2040, we should be at least 15% of the population here in Iowa. But yes, throughout the country, Latino will be one of the major groups, majority group. Well, actually, right now in California, we are the majority group in California. Texas is not too far behind. We look at the top five states in the country where we have, we consider those Latino states.
And that scares the hell out of some people, doesn't it?
It does.
Why?
Well, I think people forget about their immigrant history. They get into nativism. They fall into a trap of it's us versus them, not realizing that immigrants built this country. Immigrants fuel the economy. People forget that after several generations, they think that they just
magically
appeared. So we hear this hateful rhetoric about it's us versus them. But when we look at, again, how our economy has grown, how it's flourished, you look at any big city and you look at the economy there, and it's due to immigrants. Immigrants are always part of those economies. When you look at two inland states, Nevada and Iowa, both have 3 million people. Iowa has 15% from minority, 5% of Iowa is immigrant. And then when you look at Nevada, it's about 25% immigrant. Wow. And you look at the economy in Nevada, it's amazing. It's growing exponentially. It wasn't that way 20 years ago, but due to immigrants coming to Nevada, it is growing $10 billion in buying power per year. Here in Iowa, immigrants, 5% of the population, over $1 billion a year in buying power just from the immigrant community here in Iowa. And the reason I say immigrants is, you know, that's part of the Latino community. It's not a big part, but it's part of our history. And, of course, when people talk about immigrants, they always default to the Latino community. So it's important for us to bring up that sector of the population, too.
Joe Henry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is with LULAC, League of United Latin American Citizens. All right, let's talk about Iowa just a bit, because I think this is going to be interesting for some people. Oftentimes, Joe, when we take a snapshot of the state, we wonder, okay, so where are all of these Latinos in this case? We would say, okay, well, I know that in Denison there's a large population. In Marshalltown there's a large population. In Storm Lake there's a large population. In Des Moines there's a large population.
Very large.
But I think what we're missing here is identifying the large amount of Latinos in cities and tiny towns that dot throughout the state of Iowa. Would that be accurate?
Oh, that would be totally accurate. When we look at the Latino community in Iowa, you know, we also have to look at the 957 towns in Iowa. And Latinos play a part in many of those communities and have helped rebuild those communities like Marshalltown, Sioux City, Storm Lake. Des Moines, of course, is due to the help of the Latino community here, has helped rebuild sections of Des Moines. But yes, we're everywhere. It's Latinos have always been a part of Iowa since the founding of this state, and we need to acknowledge that. And again, when we look at school-age kids, we're 20% of the school-age kids in Iowa, so we are everywhere. And we do have a saying, if you're not already related to a Latino, you soon will be. And I think that holds true here in Iowa.
You know, that brings about an interesting question relative to intermarriage. Let me just ask you about that. Is there concern in the Latino community about losing heritage should this become an issue of intermarriage along with individuals who may be Caucasian, for example? Is there some concern?
No, it never has been a concern. Latinos, like any other group, especially when you're young, when you fall in love, you fall in love. That's the way it is. But as we see it, Latino families welcome new people into their family. And, you know, when the daughter brings somebody home who may not be Latino, they're still welcome with open arms as long as they take care of the daughter or the son. So, no, it's not a problem
at all. Got it. Let's talk about business and entrepreneurship. You hinted at that just a little bit ago about how Latinos have been actively involved in building communities wherever they live. One of the statistics I saw not too very long ago is that immigrant populations as a whole start more small businesses than what native-born Americans tend to, because they're finding it difficult to get into the work system or difficult to be hired in other areas. And so they strike out on their own because, and I think this is important to realize, they come from a culture that is creative and entrepreneurial.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Correct. Yes, you're right on that. So we see, and based upon where you get the information, anywhere from 60% to 70% of small businesses are started by the minority community, most of which, again, here in Iowa, are from the Latino community. The skill set, when we look at people who come from our community, are very much in line with doing a small business, anywhere from a restaurant to a grocery store to whatever those small businesses are. So we see that entrepreneur spirit. And, of course, you know, when you're in Iowa, I mean, Latinos impact you wherever you go. When you're out there at a restaurant, who's cooking the food, who's serving the food, who picks the food, the produce, who takes care of the dairy in Iowa, who builds the new houses in Iowa, who's out there doing the works on the roads in the public sector. It's Latinos. So we play a part in all aspects. But, again, there is this drive. It's just being self-employed to build your own business, entrepreneurial spirit. Our community members, don't give up. We're out there all the time finding ways to contribute and to earn money.
Let's, as we talk about money and earning that, let's talk a little bit about current immigration issues here in the United States. And we don't do politics on the Business News Hour. We try to shy away from that. But at the same time, politics and business intersect immensely. And we're finding that out in the San Joaquin Valley in California, where there are no migrant workers to pick the crops. And so lettuce is going rotting in the field, and which drives up prices, which impacts consumers. So this is all really part of a economic ecosystem. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. So
all of the rhetoric that is so anti-immigrant, particularly among folks of Latino descent, that's got to be that's got to be a negative when we take a look at our economy.
Yeah, it's negative not only to the Latino community, but to the overall community, the business sector. And that's why we see right now large business groups saying to state and local governments, and along with the federal government, let's figure out a way to deal with our broken immigration system, because we need workers. We need qualified workers. Yes, we all want to do things to make sure that everybody is legal, but we need workers. We need to find a way in which to provide legal status to immigrants. Again, let's go back. This country was built by immigrants. We should have a system for immigrants, because our system needs new people coming in to do the work that maybe the native-born no longer want to do. We're a country of only 325 million people in a world of over 7 billion. We're dealing with large countries that have over a billion people. And here we are again with a workforce that's very small. So we need to have people coming into the workforce to help do the things that help us make money, to help companies make a profit, to do all the things that we need to do to survive as a country economically.
One of the things that many detractors talk about, however, at the same time, is saying, well, you know, if we are employing individuals who do not have papers, or who do not, who are immigrants, who are maybe here legally, we can pay them less money for a job than what we would pay a native-born person. So our business model is built on that. And then what we find, unfortunately, in many cases, is that people are underemployed and have to turn to other means in order to make a living.
Correct. So in our community, especially when we look at the immigrant part of it, you know, we have folks within the immigrant community doing multiple types of jobs. But what is also interesting, though, with what you just brought up, though, even those who hire immigrants, and some of which may believe that they're undocumented, still have to pay them anywhere from $10 to $15 an hour. And we see this.
It's market driven.
Yeah. We see this in the agricultural sector. So so even with the broken system, things need to be done to make sure that there is legal status so that workers can go in there and not have to worry about whether or not they're going to be arrested. They need to do the work. Our small business people, our farmers, our ranchers, they need to make sure that they're not going to get arrested or fined $250,000 if ICE shows up. So this is having an impact on Iowa. We're having a discussion right now about E-Verify in the state legislature.
Yes.
And this is a bad thing. And this is a bad thing seen by both sides of the aisle. Even, again, the business sector is saying, okay, there's a call out there for E-Verify. But it does cause some chaos because it creates false positives. It also costs more. It's not reliable. And we shouldn't be doing the federal government's job. And we shouldn't place additional restrictions, requirements upon small businesses to verify their employees. We need to get beyond this. And we need to provide ways in which we provide legal status to people who want to work here. Granted, we need to make sure that we're not hiring criminals. But clearly, people who want to do the work are very unlikely to be criminals. So we
but
have
fear,
a lot.
Fear is a motivating factor.
Fear is a motivating factor, but again, we have to address this, and we have to get beyond the politics, because again, when you get business owners in a room talking about immigration, they have a different perspective about it than the politicians. So there needs to be a discussion. It needs to happen now.
Can I ask you a somewhat of a political question, if I might? One of the things I think that is stunning, we have been kicking this can down the road relative to a pathway to citizenship in this country under Democratic presidents, under Republican presidents, for not a decade, but decades.
30-some years.
And nothing seems to get done. Why?
Well, because immigration has been used over and over again as a political football, as a way to gain votes when one side says, you know, they're going to fight illegal immigration without acknowledging the fact that we need immigration in this country. So, and that's why we've kind of taken it upon ourselves in LULAC and also with other Latino organizations to begin the education, the information of letting Americans know how important immigration is. And we just completed a 28-page document on the tale of two states, Iowa and Nevada, to talk about how immigration has served both states. And again, let's get real about it. When we look at a successful community, it always has Latinos and immigrants playing a part in that, because we need workers at all different levels, and we need the cultures that come with that diversity, because diversity does provide, especially within the Latino community, a community who believes in hard work, who have good religious values, or I should qualify that, have Christian values, which I guess Americans want to embrace. But it's good work ethics, honesty, everything that you need from workers to do the job that needs to be done, even at the lowest level.
Joe Henry, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is with LULAC, that is the League of United Latin American Citizens, founded, by the way, in 1929. That's astounding. 10 years younger than
the NAACP.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. All right, another political question, if I might, Joe. And this has to do with how Democrats tend to take minority populations for granted. And I'm going to be very specific about this.
Sure.
Time and time again, about 3 months prior to whatever the vote has to be, all of a sudden we see national and regional representatives reaching out to the Latino community, for example, vote for us. It's almost like you're going to flip a switch and Latinos are going to start lining up and voting for Democrats. But what we've noticed over the past couple of years is that some folks are falling away.
True,
and
yes.
Because the conversation, the actions don't match the rhetoric. Is that accurate?
Well, that's very accurate. It's been very unfortunate that the political parties, especially the Democrats, assume that Latinos are always going to vote for them, vote for their candidate, and all they have to do is bring in their candidate several months before the election, and then they have it all wrapped up. But I think they're very surprised afterwards when they don't get the votes they assumed that they were going to get. It's very important in our community, as with any community, you have to engage with those community members if you want them to vote. So we're hoping that this time around the campaigns understand the importance of that. I think what we're seeing across the country, especially with the new members of Congress who are coming in, there was a lot of grassroots organizing, a lot of reaching out to minority groups, especially the Latino group. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is a good example of a community activist from her community who did a lot of grassroots organizing with over 500 volunteers, which goes counter to the way that the Democratic Party model for organizing has been, and the Republican too. But we've also seen other organizations, other nonprofit organizations with a partisan flavor reach out to the Latino community in different ways. Koch Brothers is a good example of that. And they have realized the value of the Latino community, and they have provided incentives in the type of work they do with the Latino community to organize that sector. And we've seen that in Nevada. Also, it seems to be creeping up here in Iowa and elsewhere across the country.
Joe Henry has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I think some really insightful things about the Latino community, not only in Iowa, but across the United States, and what an important, well, an important resource these individuals are. What's your position with LULAC? Final question. Then I should have done this right at the outset.
Right. Well, I was the national vice president for the Midwest, covering 12 states. But now that has changed. Now I'm the advisor to the national president on civic engagement and elections.
Really?
So I'm doing things nationally. We're talking with the national candidate campaigns, presidential campaigns, and then just working with other groups to better improve our civic engagement and our election program coming up to 2020. We hope to have a presidential candidate debate here in Iowa sponsored by LULAC, and we hope to work in coalition with other groups like the NAACP. But civic engagement is very important. Preparing for the upcoming elections in 2020 is very important. And the Latino vote will play about anywhere from 13 to 15% of the overall vote in the general election in 2020. And we are going to work on a plan to make sure our 28 million who are eligible to vote, that most of them do register. Right now, we've identified about 18 million,
wow,
28 million who are registered. And during the midterm election last year, it's important to note that in measuring our vote, over 80% of our registered voters did vote in the midterm election.
That's huge.
Yeah. So it has changed.
Yes.
It has changed a lot. So it used to be thought of that only 49% of our registered voters,
wow,
would vote, but now we're up to 80%. Clearly, there is awareness. There is concern. We have a young demographic. Our median age across the country is 28 versus the overall age of 38 here in Iowa. It's 22 for a median age. In the Latino community, the overall is 38 again. So this young demographic within our community is very concerned about elections. They realize the importance of it. And again, I bring up Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as a shining example of that. So our people are speaking out. We are mobilizing. It's important for LULAC to be part of that due to our history in civil rights. And we do plan on doing it, and also working coalition with the other 26 national Hispanic organizations across the country.
Joe Henry, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for doing this, Joe. I think we've learned a great deal about not just the Latino community, but maybe the thought process behind engagement for candidates who really want to reach into the community to have that conversation. Important, isn't it?
Yes, thank you very much.
Once again, that was Joe Henry from LULAC, and we've got links to not only LULAC nationally, but also LULAC Iowa up on our radio blog. Thanks again for being with us. For all of us behind the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Aaron Libby has sales and marketing. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're hearing right now is arranged, composed, and conducted for the Business News Hour by James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all of us and for Joe Henry, my name is Michael Libby. Thanks for listening. And remember, be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.